About to close the books on 2018 and open them up on 2019. Karen and I have our 19 calendar open, and we've got appointments made all the way through May. And we have to go in and see a lot of our doctors. It's like going in, take your car in, say, change the oil and the filter, clean the air filter, check the plugs, and put, make sure we got 32 PSI at all four tires, and I'll be back in a couple hours, pick it up. That's about what we do when we go to the doctor. Of course, we have to help them make the payroll on Friday too, so that helps. We have some tremendous opportunities ahead of us during this year. You didn't hear a thing I said. Well, it's good to know. I've had to preach many times on number 5 hatch when the ship was underway, and I tell you, if sailors don't hear you, they sleep. So if you don't hear me, you can feel free to nap. I didn't even know I was not coming through. Oh, you've got a brand new year to do new things and take new opportunities. It's good that we have these new starts on occasion. And I hope you all thoroughly enjoyed your celebration of the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus. And I'd like to ask you a question about it. And the question I'd like to ask every one of you is, what'd you get for Christmas? Come on, tell me, what'd you get for Christmas? You remember in the last century when we came back to school after the 2-week Christmas holiday, the teachers were genuinely glad to see us. And they would say, if any of you would volunteer to tell us what you got for Christmas, let me know. So hands would go up. People were eager, some of the students were, to share what they got for Christmas. Now, we've been taught it's more blessed to give than to receive. But when it comes to Christmas time, we have to say, receiving beats it. And you have received things on Christmases in the past, and maybe recently, where you were so thrilled by what your spouse gave you that you had to share it with others. And a father that gives his 17-year-old boy a new car that's a used car, 17-year-old boy is so thrilled he has to drive it around and show it to all his friends. Well, there's nothing wrong with being thrilled by what we receive and rejoicing over it. For after all, a child is given to us. A son is born to us. And we have received the greatest Christmas gift of all. And just as we love to share what we get for Christmas with friends, we should be sharing this greatest gift of all with people all around us. I'm going to give you some examples of what God over time has led me to do. And I hope when I'm finished, you can say honestly in your heart, I can do that. I can do that. I'll start doing that this new year. I'll start by saying this. Some time ago, I had to go to Walmart. So I got there a little between 9:30 and 10 o'clock. And I usually park halfway down an aisle, I'll call it, the row, or sometimes three-fourths of the way, because it gives me some exercise. And also, it gives me an opportunity to target someone. Now, before I leave home, I have two prayers. One of them is, dear God, please give me divine appointments. That's plural. Please give me divine appointments all through this day. Now have an SOS prayer. And it is, dear Father, I yield myself to thee now in loving surrender, loving obedience, and loving service. And please grant that what I do, think, and say today will be to your name's honor and glory. Amen. And now set forth. Now remember, I prayed for divine appointments. So on this particular day, I'd parked halfway down from the entrance to Walmart, got out, started walking, and I immediately began to target someone. And I saw an elderly lady walking along with beautiful white hair and a gorgeous outfit on. I don't know why I did it, but I went at flank speed to collision course with her before we got into the entrance to Walmart. I got close enough, but not too close, but close enough that she could understand me. And I said, "Ma'am, I just have to tell you how lovely your hair is this morning, and the outfit you got on just makes me sing with joy." She stopped immediately, stood there for about 3 or 4 seconds. "Thank you. I really needed that this morning." And she got underway at flank speed, and I let her go. Now you may think, so what? Well, if you don't get the gist of that, you're missing something. Because what really happened was, I sprinkled some water on one of God's beautiful flowers that was wilting. If you've ever raised flowers and you've gone out in the summertime to look at them in the afternoon and see them wilting, you sprinkle some water on them. And when you check on them the next morning, they're standing tall and beautiful, and those that can do so evoke the aroma that you love. All because you sprinkle some water on it. And that's what I did on behalf of God with this lady who obviously was in need. I was going to Lowe's one day, and I parked, usually I park where the flowers and the fertilizer is, so I can walk down to the entrance, get my basket, and it gives me a chance to target people. This particular time, I don't normally do this, but I walked on the outside of the road that goes right in front of Lowe's. And as I got closer down towards the entrance, I saw this lady coming from her car, and she was bent over, and she looked so sad. So I set a collision course to offset her before she could cross the road. And I got up, and I got right smack dab in front of her, and I said, "Ma'am, if you don't mind my saying this, you look like you are hurting, that you've got a tremendous load. And I'd like to help. I'm a retired Navy chaplain, a retired Presbyterian clergyman, and please let me know what's troubling you so I might be able to help you." Well, of course, she stopped, stood for a moment or two, and she said, finally, "I have stage 4 cancer, and my oncologist tells me he's going to start immunotherapy." And I smiled. I said, "This is great news, ma'am. My wife has a dear friend who has had stage 4 cancer, and she took the immunotherapy, and the cancer's gone now. She has to take the treatments periodically to keep it from ever coming back, but it doesn't bother her, and she's free of the cancer." I say, you have every right to look forward to that immunotherapy by the grace of God and the prayers that people offer for you in behalf of you to have cure come to you. Now, there's a passage in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22 that says, "A merry heart doeth good like medicine." And I pray that you will have a merry heart over this and believe that God is going to hear the prayers on behalf of your friends and loved ones and people like me, strangers. If you'll give me your first name, I'll put you on my daily prayer list, and I promise I'll pray for you on a regular basis. She gave me her first name, and we went our separate way. Now, sometimes I will say, "You mind if I pray for you right here?" And if they don't mind, I pray, I get right up in their ear so we won't disturb anyone. But I didn't do that today. I just go as the Holy Spirit guides me. We went our separate ways. I was there looking for something. I didn't know what, but I know if I see it, that's it. So I went all around Lowe's, and I finally found what I wanted. And I got four of them because I needed all four of them. And I walked out, went through the line, went to my car, got in my car, was driving off, and I saw her come across the road right in front of Lowe's with her husband. She saw me, I waved at her, and she turned to me and smiled real big. And I knew we were on good, solid ground. Sometimes we have a friend that sometimes will call me or call my wife and say, I want you to meet me on such and such a day to such and such a restaurant for lunch. Sometimes we end up going down to Thomasville just for lunch because that's where she wanted to go. So this time she called and said, I'd like to take you all to the Rocket for lunch. And I said, what's the Rocket? You don't know what the Rocket is? Nope. Don't even know we had a Rocket. It's a restaurant. It's on Dawson Road, and I found out how to get there. So I said, Karen and I will be there. And we were there at 11:30 on the day appointed. Well, it's nice. We were seated, waited on right away. The usher gave us the menus, the waitress, rather, the menus, and asked for our drinks. I wanted coffee. They wanted water, black coffee, no spoon, no sugar, no cream. She brought me coffee and water. And there was girl talk. So while they went through the girl talk, I drank my coffee, emptied the cup, got up. I knew where the urn was, so went over there. And just as I got there, a young waitress arrived there and said, sir, I'm sorry, but you're not supposed to come here. I'm supposed to keep your coffee filled. I don't know why I said this, but I know the Holy Spirit gigged me to. I said, do you belong to a church anywhere? Yes. Do you go on a regular basis? She hesitated, said, I haven't been there in about almost a year. I said, ma'am, you're working here in a restaurant that provides food for us because it's necessary for us to eat three meals a day to keep our bodies healthy and going. Church is a restaurant, a spiritual restaurant. It serves heavenly manna, which is the word of God. It provides us an opportunity to sing hymns of praise, love songs to God out of adoration and praise. You need to go to church on Sunday to get this heavenly manna. Will you promise me that if you have free Sundays, you'll go? She said, yes. Now, will you please go sit down and let me bring you coffee? I said, well, you said you'd obey me, I'll obey you. So I went and sat down. When Richard was in Phoebe Putney on the fourth floor, Richard Miller, I went to see him. And when I think I rode up, I remember having ridden up on an empty elevator. When we'd finished with my visit with him, it was time for me to go. I went out to find the elevator. And I got close enough to see the door open, but it was closing. I ran and hollered. And there were two ladies inside. Oh, thank you. Did you put any rum in there? So, there were two ladies inside. One lady was a staff member, and she had a tray, covered tray. Held the door open for me, got in. She released it, the door started closing. I said, I guess you wonder why I called you to this meeting here. I'm going to ask you two questions, and you have to answer those to yourself. If you were to die tonight, do you know for absolute certainty you'd go to heaven? The second one is, suppose you did die tonight and you stood before God and he said to you, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you say? The elevator had stopped. The door opened. The staff lady with the tray went out. We had people trying to get on the elevator. So we got out. The staff lady said, well, I try to do good to people. I try to be good. I said, ma'am, That won't work. The only answer you can give God that will allow him to let you into his heaven is to say, I have accepted your son Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and that's the only reason you should let me in, because I'm a sinner saved by grace. Now, not long ago, I had an appointment with a dentist. He had done something for me 2 weeks earlier. He said, I want you to come back and let me check on it. So I went back, went inside, signed in, sat down, and in the waiting room, there was a lady sitting over in that corner and a man sitting over here. They both had their cell phones out. I said, well, I guess you all are enjoying playing with your cell phones today. He didn't say a thing, didn't look up, didn't give me any time at all. This lady back in the corner looked up, smiled, and said, yes. And immediately I said, I'm going to ask you two questions. If you were to die tonight, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? Yes, she said. I'm not prepared. I don't always get that kind of an answer. But she said right with joy and jubilation, yes. And I said, suppose you did die tonight and you stood before God and he said, why should I let you in my heaven? What would you say? Because I have accepted your son Jesus as my Lord and Savior. That's the only reason you ought to let me in. I said, amen. At that time, I heard my name being called. So I had to leave. I tell you, God is a genius. So I left, and I spent about 12 minutes with the dentist. We talked a little bit, joked a little bit, looked me over, and let me go. So after about 12 minutes or so, I was signed myself out. You know, they don't run an eleemosynary institution there. So I went out into the waiting room. She was still in her place. He was still in their place. No phone. She was smiling big. And he had a very calm, he looked at me, had a very calm look. And this was only a couple of seconds. On my way out, I said, blessings on you both. Went out. Walked to my car. Sat inside. And if you've ever, I love crossword puzzles. And sometimes you've got a section this long with 10 or 12 letters necessary. You've got one here in the second spot, one down here, three from the end, and one in the middle. Doesn't mean anything. Then you get another one here, and all of a sudden, oh, I know what that is. So you fill it out, and that's the right one. When I got to my car and settled in the seat, all of a sudden, it was as if the scales had dropped from my eyes. I thought back on the scene I saw coming out of the dentist's office. And the Holy Spirit has led me to believe this could very well have taken place. When I made my two questions to that lady, I think the man picked up his shield and his sword and went back into a defensive posture because he didn't want to be bothered by me. I was a threat. But when I left and he saw I wasn't coming back right away, he knew that woman was no threat, so he put his shield down and his sword down and he turned to her and said, what was that all about? And she said, don't you know? He said, know what? And the beauty of it was, all I did was set the stage, and God made sure I left. And he blessed that woman and gave her an opportunity to witness this man for Christ. Now, I'm going to do some sanctified imagining. And I'm going to think that the day is coming when both of them will be in heaven. And at one time, he will see her, recognize her, and go up to her and say, hey, I want to share something with you I read years ago back on earth, and I think you ought to hear it. And those words are, when she reaches the beautiful city and the saved all around her appear, many there will tell her, it was you who invited me here. And that's what I want you to do. All I'm doing is spreading water and fertilizer and sowing seed. That's all God demands. He takes it over. He's responsible for everything else after we have planted the seed. And that's what you can do. You can do exactly what I've been doing, what God has led me to do. And we have a brand new year ahead of you. But remember, before you go out to start your day, you might consider those two prayers. Dear Lord, please give me divine appointments. He's not going to send you to somebody that's going to give you a hard time or hurt you. He's going to send you to somebody who's in need. And that SOS prayer, dear Lord, I'm going forth in loving surrender, loving obedience, loving service. Bless what I do, that it may be to your name's honor and glory. And to God be the glory, now and forevermore. Amen.